Isaiah 55. If you look back in chapter 54, verse 17, there's a verse that is promoted and quoted so much. And the reason is because it's of such great encouragement. And it says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper." Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that encouraging? And all that we face, and all, as we talked about, uncertainty, to know that no matter what anybody tries to do against us, we have the Lord. You know, and the Lord is clear in this, is that if we're walking with Him, bad stuff may happen, but He's always got our back. But if we're not walking with Him and bad stuff happens, we're on our own. In other words, we deserved it. Now, you say, well, oh, that doesn't sound very biblical or very Christian. No, he's pretty plain about that. It's better for us to suffer in righteousness and to know at least we have a righteousness of the Lord, that we're standing true in what we believe and what we know is true, than to suffer because we've done wrong. But he says, if we suffer because we've done wrong, you got what you deserve. There are consequences to everything we do. There's consequences to every sin. We said that this morning. Consequences. But no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. So God has our back. He has control of the situation. Look at what it says. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Those who stand against us, we're good. How many of you ever had somebody talk badly about you? All right? But as long as you do what's right, doesn't matter what they say, right? I mean, it might hurt our feelings. But if we're true, if we live right, they can jabber all they want to, but the facts are facts. There won't be any evidence to back up their claims, their accusations. And we have that accuser, right? Always walking to and fro on the earth, seeking whom he may devour. But where is he? He's standing before God accusing us. He is our accuser. And so we know we've got to live right and do right, because anything we do wrong, the devil's going to be saying, "Hey, Lord, you see that? You saw what he did? Saw what she did?" So we know it's going to be right before the Lord. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Again, are we right? Are we walking with him? Are we in his will? Are we in his shadow? Are we under his wing? The servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Not our righteousness, not what I've done, but it's his righteousness. We're standing in his truth and his righteousness. Chapter 55, verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." Oh boy, that's good, isn't it? You ever been thirsty? You ever been needy? You ever been desperate? You ever not known what you were going to do? How it's going to work out? Well, here he says, if you're thirsty, come to the water. Secondly, he that has no money. Well, amen. Who's he talking to now, right? Come, buy and eat. Buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wouldn't it be great? I don't know. Wouldn't it be great to be able to just go buy gas and not look at what it costs? Or go to the grocery store and not worry about how much it costs. I don't know if you've ever gone to the grocery store and watched them as they ring it up and you put the stuff you really might not need toward the back of the line. Right? And so when they get to a certain point, you go, "Oh, we'll stop. That's all I need." Yeah. Yeah, but wouldn't it be great to just let them ring it up? Just keep ringing it up. Just keep going. That's the idea. You see, the idea here, again, it's not about here and now and going to Walmart, but it's about our expectation with God. It's about the abundance that we're going to have. You know, we talked about the end times and we talked about the, you know, how everything, the prophecies being fulfilled. How many of us ever heard this concept of a cashless society? You ever heard of that? Man, how many of you have cash with you right now? Don't raise your hand. All right, but how many of us even have cash with us right now? Most of the time we don't. We just have plastic. And so as far as money, actual money, we never touch it. We're almost the cashless society today. And we're inching our way toward that. We're getting closer and closer to that fulfillment that we talk about. But here, he says there's coming a day, and again, this is prophecy, a coming a day where we don't have to worry about anything, where we have everything we need. That'll be great. Look, you know, one thing about now is you may have everything you need. You say, Pastor, I got everything I need. But you may not have to go far in your neighborhood to find somebody that's not in your situation, somebody who's in need. And the truth is, if we were able, not that we would want to, but if we had that knowledge, maybe there's somebody nearby us whose mortgage is overdue, whose rent is past due, who's on the brink of bankruptcy, who can't pay their bills, or they have to pay only a portion of the power bill this month, just enough to keep it from getting turned off. Guys, there are people, and I get the phone calls all the time, and people are always desperate. So if you don't have to worry about that, praise God, you're blessed. What a wonderful situation to be in, blessed of God, the favor of God, and He's been good to you, and you've been faithful. I don't take away your faithfulness and your stewardship and your diligence, making sure you save and making sure you work hard and all those things. But thank God you're in a situation where you don't have to worry about it, because there are a lot of people that do. But I'm looking forward to a day where nobody has to worry about it. I'm looking forward to a day where nobody has to call and say, Pastor, I can't pay it this month. Can you help? I'm looking forward to those times where there's nobody in need. And that's what he says here. You can buy it without price. Look at verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Labor for that which satisfieth not. And isn't that true? Of all the things that we've got in our lives, of all the energy that we spend in our lives, how much of it really matters? Of all the worries and all the stress, how much of it really matters? Really makes a difference. But we focus on a lot of things that don't matter. And we spend our energy on a lot of things that in 10 days nobody's ever even going to remember, much less in 10 years. But we ought to be focused on things that matter. And we ought to be looking to the heart of God and doing whatever He wants to do. Instead of counting our pennies, instead of counting our dollars, we ought to be trusting in the Lord for those things. He says, hearken diligently unto me. Listen to me, he says, diligently. Eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. What's he saying? He's saying, serve me and I'll take care of you. Serve me and I'll take care of you. And people might say, well, Pastor, I've been a Christian. I've been going to church and I still have problems and I still have needs. But do we turn to God? Sometimes that happens in our lives because God's trying to get our attention. We need to be mindful of that. Stop wasting our energy on stuff that doesn't fulfill our purpose in the Lord. Verse 3, incline your ear. Come unto me and hear. Listening. We spend a lot of time talking. Do we spend enough time listening? Do we spend a lot of time paying attention to what God wants for us? Are we hearing what He's saying to us? Are we really hearing what God is saying to us? Brother John came in. He said, Pastor, when you preach, it just seems like what you say is relevant to what I'm living. And I said, you know, God is so good that way, in that it's not only relevant to what you're living, it's relevant to each one of us in a different way. In a different way. And yet, exactly what we need. Because that's how God is. God is faithful. And so he says, listen, incline your ear unto me. Come to me and hear, and your soul shall live. We spend so much time thinking about our body and we neglect our soul. We need to take care of our soul. We need to be built up in the Lord, and that's by Bible study. That's by prayer time. That's by Christian fellowship. That's by removing the negative influence and those things that drag us down. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Verse 5, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run to thee because of the Lord thy God. The unions that God brings together, the friendships, the fellowships, the partnerships that God brings together because of our faith. You know, as I look around, I see people of a lot of different backgrounds. I see people who would not necessarily have run into each other except in God's house. And yet God has brought us together from our different backgrounds, educational backgrounds, financial backgrounds, cultural backgrounds. He's brought us together to be a team, to be a family, to be a ministry, to make a difference. The different people we can reach. Think of the different situations that are going on in your lives right now. The different situations in your family that you're praying about and wondering, how is God going to work it out? And yet God has brought us together to help in that, to minister together in that. All these different people. He said, you'll call a nation you didn't even know, and they'll come to you. Why? Because of God. Because of God's blessing, because of God's favor. They'll run to thee for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Verse 6, and you know this verse, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I wonder, what if you hadn't trusted Christ when you did? When's the next time that Jesus would have made his way around to you? When's the next time that the Holy Spirit would have come by and said, it's time? If you hadn't gotten saved when you did. Now, what might have happened in that span of time? Guys, our lives would be completely different. If we hadn't trusted Christ when we did, if we didn't start walking with Christ when we did, our lives would be so different. But worse than that, while we're still here, what if that next visitation had not come and something had happened and we had died in that period of time without God? Oh, he says, seek him while he's near. There's a time when God comes, and you know the testimony about, you know, different churches doing well, and I see how God works, does a great work in one church, and then it seems like, okay, let me go work over here a little bit. God is not a circuit-riding God, but it seems like sometimes the revival breaks out in a circuit, and there's more going on at one time, and then there's a season where it's kind of slow. And here's what I see. Let me just break away from the sermon a second and say this. There's a time in a church where God brings in a lot of new growth, a lot of new people, but then he has to hold it back a little bit so those people can grow in their faith and their doctrine. Because what would happen if God allowed a church to be flooded with new believers that had no doctrinal basis, that had no foundation of how a church should be? Boy, we'd change everything in just a little bit of time, and it'd be so worldly you wouldn't want to be part of it. So God is very smart in the way that he brings about church growth, and that's the reason I don't get stressed over it. I don't worry about it. I just watch what God's doing, and God's always smart, and he's always right. And so we just enjoy what God does in our lives. But he says, call on him while he is near. While he's near. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. What does that imply? Seek him while he may be found. It says to me there's a time in our lives where we're going to look for him and he's not going to be there. You say, Pastor, how can that be? God is everywhere. God is all-knowing, yes, but no one comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. And God uses the circumstances in our lives to draw us to God, to give us an opportunity for that hope, love, and forgiveness that we've never experienced. Call on him while he is near. Seek him while he may be found. And so you say, oh, Pastor, I got a friend. I want him to get saved so much. Well, don't give up on him. Keep praying for him. Keep talking to him about Jesus. Be a good example in front of him. Don't give him any reason to think that this is not the real deal. Right? You let him see the power of God in your life. Let him see what it does for your family. Let him see what it does in your job. Let him see what it does in your finances. Let him see what it does to your health. Let him see what it does to your composure. Just let him see how it changes who you are. And then one day they'll find him too. It may be that they're seeking him, but the time's not right. I know that doesn't sound like what we always preach, but it says seek him while he may be found. And so let him be seeking for a little while, but as long as we're a good example, there'll come a moment where God is close and they can call on him and they can find him. And so don't quit being a good example in front of him. Look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way. Oh, that's so true. Forsake it. Get away from it. Get away from it. It's killing you. It's destroying you. Forsake his way. and the unrighteous man his thoughts. If your mind is, you got to be able to tell your mind no. How many of you could tell yourself no? I told myself no ice cream today. Isn't that great? I said, there's no ice cream in the house. That's what I said. No. But there are times when I have to tell myself no. And I know that's a little humorous, but there are things, guys, understand something. There are things sometimes in my life that I struggle with that I would never confess with in front of you. But there are things in my life that pops in my mind and I have to say, get out of there. Get out of my mind. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to do that. Get out of my mind. Sometimes that's just a cuss word. I know you would find that hard to believe. But sometimes people make me so mad I want to cuss. But I don't. I said, get out. But I think about it. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. We've got to get them out. Let him return to the Lord. Let him get back to God. God will have mercy upon him, our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, I love that. Man, my sins are washed away. Every sin. The sins before I got saved, all those sins are washed away. Isn't that great? But I got good news for you. All the sins since I got saved, they're washed away too. He abundantly pardoned all my sins and all your sins if you put your trust in him. And I love verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm thankful for a God that's smarter than I am, aren't you? Amen. I need a God that's smarter than me. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. God's not following me. God doesn't say, Derek, what do you want to do? He doesn't do that. God is leading. God is directing. God is bringing me along. And he doesn't say, Derek, how about I'll just do whatever you want to do. God never does that. You know why? Because he's smarter than I am. And he knows the way. And he knows the results. And he's going the right way every time. My ways are not your ways, verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That means that he's so much smarter than us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What's that mean? He humbled himself. He brought himself lower. It was never the idea that we would elevate our thoughts, but that we would humble ourselves and trust in him. My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. His thoughts come to us. Look at verse 10. As the rain cometh down. Amen. And the snow from heaven. And returns not there. It doesn't go back. You ever see rain going up? You ever see snow going up? No, it comes down. And it doesn't return there. But it waters the earth, and it makes the earth bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You see, those thoughts come from God. Where do those thoughts come? Well, they come to the Word. They come through the preacher. They come by the Holy Spirit. The words come from the heart of God. Now, what happens when it comes to us? Does that thought do something great in us? Seeds and bread and all that he talked about? Because he says it's not coming back void. It's going to do something when it comes to us. Now, it may not be greatness, but it should be. It's going to do something. God says it's going to accomplish what I sent it to do. It's going to prosper. So here's the thing. If we're reading God's word, if we're listening to the Lord as he speaks to us, we cannot afford to take those seeds and put them in one of those pretty packages that they have at the hardware store and put it on a shelf for next season. We need it now. God sent it now. We need it now. We need it for our minds and our hearts and our families and our kids and our neighbors and our friends and our church. We need it now. So what we receive, we've got to put into action. We've got to put it to work. Brother Sando was here this morning. He talked about, you know, sharing the gospel. Well, we talk about that every time. We ought to be doing it. When the Lord speaks to us in that moment and guides us in that moment personally to reach somebody, that's the time to do it. Don't say, well, I'll make an appointment later and get with them. No, right now, God spoke to you. He gave you the word. Use the word. Don't let it return void. Verse 12, for ye shall go out with joy. How many of you are happy when you get out of church? I don't mean when the preacher finally quits. I mean, you go away happy. Right? You go away happy. You shall go out with joy. Man, when you get up in the morning and you leave the house, leave with joy. When you leave the bed, leave with joy. Man, get out and get excited. Brush your teeth. You got a smile to brush your teeth anyway. You might as well be happy. All right, big smile, brush your teeth. You shall go out with joy, and you shall be led forth with peace. Oh, it's going to be a good day today. Isn't that great? Hey, tomorrow's Monday. It's going to be a good Monday. Let's leave with joy. Let's go out with joy. Let's go out with peace. Let's not go, oh, man, I wonder what's waiting for me at work in the morning. Oh, man, I wonder what's going to happen when so-and-so calls or so-and-so. Guys, go out with peace. Led forth with peace. Go out with joy. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now, I'll say I've never experienced that. But metaphorically, guys, what a wonderful creation that we live in. Man, isn't it wonderful? And I just the beauty of the sunrise and the sunset, the beauty of the rain. Boy, I sure wouldn't complain about rain. I don't even complain about heat. It's hot. It's warm. I don't like being sweaty. I don't mind being sweaty if I'm meant to be sweaty, go out and work. But if I'm just running in between calls or something like that, going in a truck and then try to go into your house and visit with people or whatever, I don't like to go in sweaty. But thank God we have air conditioning. Amen. Boy, when that air works, it's wonderful. Just look for the good. He said, hey, it's all opening up for us. Does that change our mindset? Does it change our perspective? Or do we still complain about everything? Do we still find a problem everywhere? Instead of the thorn, verse 13, finally, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Yes, you say, Pastor, this is not for 2022. This is for time in Israel in the future. I get it. But why not live in that mindset? Why not just, guys, there's so much negativity and complaining in the world. Why shouldn't it would stand out if we're just polite to people and kind to people. And they'll say, what is wrong with you? And you say, I got Jesus. Man, my sins are washed away. I'm loving it. Say, Pastor, really? With all the problems I've got and all the trouble I've got? Yes, yes. Because your trouble's not going to change because you're negative and ugly about it. But if we have a better mindset and a better attitude, it'll change a lot. And mostly, it'll catch people's attention where they say, something's different. What's different? Jesus. Everyone that thirsteth, come to the water. I love this verse that's up here. With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's where we ought to live. That's why it's up there. We ought to be drawing joy out of the wells of salvation. Let's stand. Father, we love you. We're thankful for the time that we've had together. God, you know, with all of the upbeat and the positivity, we're not diminishing the problems that we have. But we see in your word that being negative is not going to help it. Complaining and being miserable is not going to change it. But looking for solutions and hoping in you. Resting in you. God, give us rest for our bodies and our souls and for our minds. Give us the energy that we may go out with joy and be led forth in peace. Dismiss us now with your grace and bring us back safely, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.